We have been studying in 1 Thessalonians, and we have been spending a great deal of time in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And we have been concentrating on the last few verses of that chapter, which deal with the raising of those that believe in the present tense to be in the presence of the Lord. The latter part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 brings us up to the middle of what is commonly known as the Great Tribulation period, or the middle of Daniel's 70th week. This is where the saints of the Lord are rewarded to become kings over cities, lords over cities. And in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation is where this takes place, or the end of it is where this takes place. And then the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation is where Satan and his angels are kicked out of heaven and are cast down here on the earth, no longer having access to the throne of God. And then those who have been faithful and qualified to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom will take over those positions that Satan and his host occupy today. Satan is the god or the judge of this world. And under Satan, there are lords and kings. They're known as princes. They're known as principalities. They're known as rulers of darkness. And these rulers and principalities are over nations and cities of the world today. And those that have been faithful over 1 pound, gaining 5 or 10 pounds, will be ruling and reigning over 5 cities, 10 cities, 100 cities. The 12 apostles will be ruling over the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And I don't know how many cities that would be, but there are hundreds of cities. So depending upon your faithfulness and your to the Lord, you will rule and reign with Christ. If you have not been faithful to the Lord, you will not rule and reign with Him. You will be a subject and not a sovereign. It does pay to live for the Lord. There are consequences if you don't, contrary to much popular teaching today. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we pick up chapter 12 of the book of Revelation and following. So I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children or sons of light, and the sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. This is a period of time where we need the armor of God to protect us against the wiles of the devil, who would cause us to be defeated, children of God. In these last days, we are warned in Matthew chapter 24 that lawlessness will abound. And that lawlessness will affect those who love the Lord. It says that lawlessness will abound and the love of the many shall wax cold. Who are the many? It's the many that have been called unto His kingdom and glory. And the Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, if our love for Him grows cold, what happens to our obedience? It diminishes. And when we become disobedient, then we're like those who hide our talent or hide our pound and have to come and say, we weren't faithful, Lord, to what You'd have us to do. So, we're living in the last times. And Paul is telling them that of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. Again, I remind you that he's writing to brethren. Who are brethren? The common interpretation of brethren is all those who are saved. But a closer examination of the Scriptures, you find out that the brethren are not all of those that are saved. Brethren are those who are doing the will of the Father. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. The brethren have to do with those who are elect. The brethren are those who are beloved. In chapter 4, verse 13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. Brethren are those who have hope and are not sorrowing. Chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Brethren are those who know circumspectly. The word perfectly is translated in other portions of the Scripture as circumspectly. You know because of examination. Brethren are those who know because they are students of the Word. In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 4 and 5, brethren are those that are not in darkness. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children or sons of light and the sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Brethren are those who are not sleeping as you would in the night. In fact, it's interesting here, the word children is translated, is really comes from the Greek word hurios, and it should be translated sons. Sonship means maturity. Brethren are those who are mature in the things that pertain to the light of the Word of God. They're not in darkness. They're informed individuals. So a brother is not an average Christian. A brother is one who is an above average child of God, pursuing the truth, being prepared for the Lord's return. They are those who walk honestly. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting, or partying, or carousing, and drunkenness, not in chambering, that is sexual promiscuity, wantonness, that is sensuality, not in strife and envying or jealousy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. A brother is one who walks honestly and does not make provision for the flesh. You keep all the magazines out of your house. You don't walk by the magazine rack. These things cause or add to promiscuity and for sensuality. In other words, separation. A brother is one who is separate and does not make provision for the flesh. Now, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. The word times and the seasons is a reference to the nation of Israel. In fact, of the matter, in Revelation chapter 12, we find Satan going after the nation of Israel. And so the real persecution of the nation of Israel begins in the middle of the tribulation, or the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "When they," that is the disciples, "were therefore come together, they asked him," this is the Lord, "saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Reference to the times and the seasons is a reference to the restoring of the nation of Israel to their land in prominence. And Paul says, "I have no need that I write unto you about this, because you know perfectly well this is in the hands of the Father. This is the Father's business, and I don't have to tell you about that. You don't know when it's going to be exactly, but we can determine that it's going to take place beginning in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, because that's when Satan begins, knows his time is short, and we know that Satan pursues the woman. And the woman in Revelation chapter 12 is the nation of Israel. Now, he goes on in verses 2 and 3 of 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." A thief does not announce himself. Yet I was thinking about the fact that there will be birth pangs. A woman doesn't know when the child will be born, but she knows when it's getting close for the child to be born because of birth pangs. And I was thinking, if this guy's a thief, or the coming of the Lord is like a thief, the thief isn't going to make announcements or pass out cards to announce his arrival. And what I was thinking was, here recently we've had several areas of difficulty in our city because of crime. And what it is that there are patterns. And the police department says, there's somebody that is stealing in the Plymouth area. And so, when we think about the Lord's coming as a thief in the night, there are signs of the fact of activity of a thief going on or coming on. And that's the same thing as about being birth pangs. Because in verse 3 it says, "Then shall they say, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." One of the signs of the Lord's coming is people saying peace and safety. Prosperity. We're living in the day of prosperity. We're pursuing peace. I think that I saw in the news that right now there are 24 wars going on in the world. Not only is there peace in parts of the world, but there and safety, but let me tell you, there is wars and rumors of wars going on all around. In Mark chapter 13, verses 6 through 8, it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." What happened here just recently down in South Africa? A cult down there. Over 900 people massacred by suicide or murder. There are people today that say that they have the answer. Follow me. Give me your money and follow me. And they disappear, and so do you. So do all your possessions, maybe even your life. But anyway, verse 7 going on. "And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must need be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famine and troubles. These are all the beginning of birth pangs." It's the same word that we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. These are birth pangs. These are the travail of a woman. These are signs that something is about to happen. And so we can see those signs. There are no signs to tell us when the Lord will catch us up to be with Him, but we can see the signs of when the wrath part of the book of Revelation will begin. And that has to do with the earthquakes. These are signs. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, this also will show you the period of time that we're dealing with when he talks about the day of the Lord, okay? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That one verse spans a 1,000-year period. It's not just simply at the beginning of the tribulation or the middle of the tribulation. The earth's not going to burn up. Jesus Christ is not going to rule and reign over a cinder. People are talking about nuclear wars. Jesus Christ is not going to come back and rule and reign if the place isn't fit to live in. So he is going to rule and reign over the earth that will be intact. But at the end of the 1,000-year period, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So the day of the Lord begins in the middle of the tribulation and it ends after the destruction of Satan in the latter part of the book of Revelation. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Peter says, "Beloved," and he's talking to brethren because of the term beloved, "be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So when it talks about the day of the Lord, he's talking about 1,000-year period. Not just a 24-hour period, but he's talking about a 1,000-year period. And says, so don't be ignorant of that. And then in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 1, John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea." We'll need a little more room to live on because of all the people that have come and gone. There's not going to be room for many seas or a big sea to take up space. We're going to have a place to put people. But this verse of scripture here is after the great white throne judgment. This is after Satan is cast into the bottom or cast into the lake of fire. This is after death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. So this is the end of the 1,000-year period for which Christ will be reigning. Now, in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, there's an interesting statement here that we need to pick up on. He says, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, "My two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloths." In Matthew chapter 17, verse 3, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them." And then in Revelation chapter 11, verse 12, "saying to them, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven." Now, I read all those verses so you could have them in mind so that you can understand what I'm getting ready to tell you. It says that I will send Elijah before the day of the Lord. Well, the day of the Lord, I said, began in the middle of the tribulation period. And in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, the Lord makes reference to his two witnesses, that is, Moses and Elijah. And they are caught up when? In chapter 11. How long had they been ministering before they were caught up? 3.5 years. So 3.5 years before that, they have been here on the earth, and they are causing the people who dwell on the earth a lot of trouble. And in fact, when they are killed, That begins a new day of Christmas, if you please. When those two prophets are killed, everybody starts giving each other gifts. This is a time of celebration. This is a time of giving presents to everybody. Our troubles are over. And then, of course, three days later, they rise up on their feet and they're caught up into heaven. Now, the significance of that is this. That is to tell us that the day of the Lord does not begin until the middle of the tribulation period, because Elijah and Moses, his two prophets, will come before the day of the Lord. That's the reason why I have these verses in here, to establish when the day of the Lord begins. I believe the day of the Lord begins at the middle of the tribulation period. Okay? And the reason I put in Matthew chapter 17, verse 3, when we find Moses and Elijah, we find them in the presence of the Lord when He is transfigured, and with Him are Peter, James, and John. This is the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's what takes place in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, the day of the Lord is a day when the proud and the lofty are cut low. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, that he shall be brought low." Are we living in the day of the lofty and the proud? Absolutely. What will happen to them? They will be cut down. Let me tell you, you can count on this. This is the Word of God. You can believe this. You can take this to the bank if you can, you know, if they'll take it. But what I'm saying is this is good stuff. It's not phony. It's not fake. The bank will take it. And we are the bank, and we need to receive it and believe it. Isaiah 13, verse 9, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Now this is a reference really to the nation of Israel. Remember, the beginning of the tribulation period, the middle, is the beginning of the restoring of the nation of Israel to their land. This is the beginning of the times and seasons that the apostles were asking about. Will you restore the kingdom to Israel now? And the Lord said, this is none of your business. The Father will take care of that at the proper time. This is when that begins to take place. And of course, at the end of the 3.5 years, then God will raise the dead nation of Israel, the people that are in their graves, out of their graves, and bring them into the land. And so shall they be in the land. Notice that in Joel chapter 2, verse 31, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." Notice that when the sun will be made dark and the moon into blood, that takes place before the day of the Lord. Now, everybody knows that the moon is made of what? Green cheese, right? Of course not. This cannot be taken literal. I take this as pollution. I don't know whether you've noticed on the news lately, China. You look at the areas of China and the pollution that is being generated in that far eastern land. Have you ever noticed the sun in those pictures? The sun is red. The sun is diminished. It's dark. If the sun went out, how long would it take us to freeze? Well, it takes 9 minutes for the sunlight to get here. So if the sun went out, we wouldn't know it for 9 minutes. And then we wouldn't last 20 seconds. We would be frozen solid and no time flat. But the point is this. The sun turning into darkness and the moon into blood, that is, it will look red. And that happens when the volcanic activity takes place. The ash in the air will cause the sun to look red. It will cause the moon to look red as well. The ash in the air will also diminish the sunlight coming in. So all of this will be taking place when? Before the day of the Lord begins. And of course we find this same quoted verse, or the same verse from Joel, quoted in Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. Now, what's going to be taking place during, or what is Paul warning us to be on guard with? That's what I really need to say, rather than taking place. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Now, this word sleep is not the same word sleep in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. That word sleep in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 13 has to do with physical death. That verb there is in the passive voice. And what does that mean? It means that they were put to sleep by the Lord. In other words, it's like the Lord, it's just like rocking your baby. When you rock a baby, that baby doesn't really want to go to sleep. He'll do all he can to keep his eyes open. And his eyeballs are just rolling. And then you rock some more and you sing a few more lullabies, and the next thing you know, he's sound asleep. That's the kind of sleep that you find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The kind of sleep, and it's a different word entirely, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, is in the active voice. Now this means simply that the subject does the action of the verb. These people are going to sleep on purpose. These people are going to sleep because they want to go to sleep, not because they are being put to sleep. Okay? And so, and it's also in the present tense. They're sleeping on purpose continually. The interesting thing about it is this: it can be stopped. This is an action of the verb that can be stopped. You can stop the present tense. Remember we were talking, you can't stop the aorist tense of the verb, but you can stop the present tense of the verb. And as do others. You see the word others? The only other place that this is found in the book of in 1 Thessalonians is in chapter 4, verse 13. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others." This is a reference to those that have no hope. The others are the ones who are sleeping on purpose. And they are the ones who will have no hope. Hope of what? Hope of glory. Hope of ruling and reigning with Christ. This isn't dealing with salvation at all. You don't hope you're saved. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you're saved. You know, and you have it now. You're a child of God now. I don't hope that. I know that because I did what the Bible said for me to do, and it's true. I'm saved. But I don't have any guarantee that I'll rule and reign with Christ, because I do not know whether or not I will be faithful to Him till the end. That's something I cannot predict. I don't know that. That's the reason why Paul talked about the hope. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So, the others in this case here are the ones who have no hope. Why is it they don't have any hope? Because they died not being faithful to the Lord. In verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "For if we believe," that is in the present tense, continuous action, "if we believe, we will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to rule and reign with Him." But here in chapter 5, it says, "Let us not sleep as do others." but let us watch and be sober. The others were not watching. The others were drunk on everything this world can offer. Cares of this world, pleasures of this world. And let me tell you, Satan is in the business of drawing us into that. Now let me show you what I mean. In Mark chapter 13, verse 33, we have the exhortation from the Lord that we need to watch and pray, for we don't know the time. Then in Mark chapter 13, verse 36, it says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, present active. And this is the same Greek word as we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This has to do with spiritual indifference. And then this is in the garden. This has to do with the time when Jesus Christ is being crucified. And then in Luke chapter 22:53, when the Lord is standing in front of a great big crowd of people with all kinds of implements to arrest him, and he says, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." Satan, the power of darkness, the ruler of darkness, would cause each one of the faithful children of God to go to sleep or become spiritually indifferent. We don't find people that are interested in Bible study much. They're more interested in worship. They're more interested in singing and being entertained. I tell you, Paul says, there will come a time when men will not endure what? Sound doctrine. I like the word endure. Did you know that it takes endurance to get into doctrine of the Word of God? Endurance means being faithful. Endurance means being regular. But a lot of people like to come to church on Christmas and Easter and your birthday. Let me tell you, you're not enduring sound doctrine that way. In fact, you're just missing all kinds of teaching and doctrine if you're going to the right church. Enduring sound doctrine means you're there every Sunday. And if you're not there every Sunday, you're missing something. You missed last week, which we build upon this week. That's the significance of regular attendance of the Word of a place where the Word of God is being taught. And it's important. So the power of darkness. And the power of darkness would cause us to become sleepy. Now, I think what I'm going to skip over this portion about others without hope. They are the ones who are sleeping. The thing that we need to take home with us today is what those in Thessalonica did. Those in Thessalonica put on the breastplate of faith and love in verse 8 of chapter 5. In chapter 5. Let us who are of the day be sober, under control, not drunk, out of control, but be under control, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. When I think about the breastplate and helmet, what comes to mind? Spiritual armor. You need to protect yourself. Satan is our enemy, and he is a roaring lion. Let me tell you, when you go lion hunting, you don't run out there in the bush by yourself. In fact, we saw a movie, about an African lion, and this particular tribe of natives they specialized in lion hunting. And when they went lion hunting, they went in a big group, and they made a lot of noise, particularly when they knew where the lion was. But the point I'm saying, you need some fellowship. Otherwise, the lion's going to get you. You can't do it alone. You need the spiritual armor on, because Satan is a formidable foe. We wrestle not against principalities and against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so forth. We need the whole armor of God. You leave off something, you're going to get distracted. I think the most popular or the illustration that I use that really means a lot to me. If I didn't put something on my feet when I was a boy at my grandmother's farm, if I lost the ball out in the yard, or if I had an airplane and I tossed it out in the yard, and I went out to get that plane, you know what the next thing was on my mind? It was the grass spurs sticking in my feet. I forgot about the ball. I forgot about the plane that landed out in the yard. I was pulling the stickers out of the bottom of my feet. Did you know that that can happen in your spiritual life? What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be watching and praying. But if your feet are not shod with the preparation, next thing you know, you've got stickers in the bottom of them, and you're thinking about the stickers in your feet and not about what we're to be concentrating on. And when you're pulling stickers, let me tell you, the devil can get you. Satan and his hosts can pull you down and defeat you. So we need the whole armor of God. We need peace. We need the shield of faith. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need to be praying always. You find this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. And then I want to close with this one passage in Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 36. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. Notice that we're to take heed to ourselves. This is personal responsibility. You can't let... I'm not responsible for you, and you're not responsible for me. It's personal responsibility. My heart can be overcharged, overloaded with wasteful pleasure. This word surfeiting means excess. Wasteful pleasure. Drunkenness. Deadening the senses. The cares of this life. Did you know that you can be overloaded on Save the Whales or Hug the Trees? Like I told you before, God's not coming back to rule and reign over a cinder or a place that is bald. It's going to have trees on it. And let me tell you, we're not supposed to be irresponsible. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just saying, we're not to be consumed with this. And because if we are, then that day will come upon us and we will not be aware of it. We will not be sensitive to the times in which we live to make preparation. And it says in verse 35, "For as a snare shall they come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted to worthy to escape all these things." Did you know your prayer life is essential if you are going to escape wasteful pleasure, drunkenness, cares of this life? Let me tell you, it's hard to pray over a beer or a bottle of booze. When you're praying, you're not thinking about drinking or carousing or partying or hugging a tree. We need to be praying that we can escape these excessive lifestyles that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God. To stand how? To stand approved. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much. That's one of the reasons why I'm encouraged to stay in a church that doesn't have very many folks in it. I'm planning on ruling over a lot in that day. Why? Because I've been faithful. And the same thing applies to you. That's what counts. May the Lord help us in these last days to be aware of what's going on, that we can make preparation to stand in His presence approved. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we know that Satan would cause us to sleep. And we know, Lord, that we can make a choice not to do that. We know that Satan would cause us to be drunk. We know that Satan would cause us to be distracted with the things that are going on in the world. Satan would cause us to be distracted on making money and having a secure portfolio. Lord, help us to invest in things that are eternal. Help us, Lord, to put our treasures in heaven. Our heart will be there and not here on the earth. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. And Lord, help us to be prepared to stand in Your presence approved, because we have been faithful in the warfare and in praying and watching. For it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen.